And thank you to the Southern Venturers. They were here to experience citizenship and democracy. So I hope they saw some of it. They've gone to look somewhere else for it now. On page 69 of the agenda, well, we dealt with that. Page 83 of the agenda, we're dealing with the proposal for multi-purpose indoor courts. Councillor Telfer to move.
I am very excited to be able to bring forward a motion that brings together a whole lot of clubs that I acknowledge are here, represented tonight. I acknowledge the Marion Club, South Adelaide Club Basketball. I acknowledge the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Centre people. I acknowledge the Dover Gardens Dog Club that is also active at this, in this area. I also acknowledge that this plan brings some options for the Mitchell Park neighbourhood centre that we have not had for a long, long time. So there are a lot of people that in the last month have affirmed this project. It gives a chance not only for indoor sports but also a renewal for Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club. And they have supported this, and they've sent a letter today to support it. The dog club are supporting this as long as they end up with what they've got now in terms of benefits. We see some great benefits for the new 900 houses that will be at Tonsley, and we see partners from Basketball Association, partners from the builders of the Tonsley houses, partners from our neighbourhood centre, and partners from communities nearby. So this is a win for all of us. It's an expensive one tonight because we can't just say, here are the well-developed, well-accepted old plans. We have to shape up our architectural plans that are in good shape. We have the demographics already done. They will need to be upgraded, but we have structure in the very healthy report that was done several years ago. But over and above that, this project, because it's complex, requires civil engineering, service engineers, landscape architects, and cost management services. And we have a very short timeline. We can't dilly-dally on this because we need this to go to the National Stronger Region Fund application mid-next year. And so we are coming tonight as a community based around Mitchell Park asking for $200,000 from the community PPP, that community fund that's part of the asset reserve, so that we can move forward to do something worthwhile in our community. I wouldn't be as committed to this, except there are currently at the Mitchell Park sports ground no women's change rooms, no women's facilities, and I find that very strange in a large place. So I recommend this to you, and I hope we get a vote across the line.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. That was extremely well spoken by Councillor Telfer. My only comment that I would add, members, is certainly don't let the new vision for the site limit your vision in what can be achieved there. I think that's just a very quick drawing of boxes of where the site could be laid out. So please don't let that limit your vision. So I look forward to seeing a well-designed piece of architecture there.
Yes, this is just to kick the process off. Anyone opposing the motion?
Then I'll ask a question.
Question? Yes, Councillor Crossland, sorry.
1,000 coming from. Is that not part of the...
Mr. Mifsud?
Through the Chair, it's part of the Asset Sustainability Reserve. It's actually specifically from the Community Facilities Partnership part, program, and there are currently sufficient funds to fund that should Council wish to do so.
Well, this is obviously a... this is a matter which... is the subject of approval in terms of council wanting to develop the master plans, and Mitchell Park's one of the sites. I think the common understanding of the Community Facilities Partnership program was that it was to go towards master plan funding. There is nothing there to say that it is urgent, but as Councillor Telfer said in her speech, the aim is to apply for Stronger Regions Fund in the middle of next year, which means that we would have to get going. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, just to clarify, no, I distinctly remember, unless it's urgent, we won't be applying to the Asset Sustainability Fund. And the community partnership funds was for matching funds when those funds were made available by a community, not just to access on projects.
That did change, as I understand it. It was set up to get matching funding from community groups, but when we changed the fund earlier in this council term, I think that requirement was dispensed with. Mr. Mifsud?
Just through the Chair, certainly originally the fund was set up, as you've stated, Councillor Crossland, but the Mayor is quite right. When this Council adopted its new budget earlier this year, you extended the terms of reference within that particular policy relating to that reserve quite extensively.
Maybe on the minutes we can note that if you want to access community partnership funding, you can do so in a motion.
Well, you can seek leave for that to be minuted, but I'm not sure I see the merit of it, to be honest.
I just think it's worthy of note when the person moving the motion made a great point of saying that we were not to bring projects to the chambers that are pet projects or otherwise unless it goes through the proper process and is included in the annual budget review in advance.
Yes, I note that this was brought by staff, but we did say that the same procedure would apply to both staff and members. Mr. Mifsud? Well, Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, just in terms of clarification, in terms of bringing it, what we did was consider the motions that Council has developed for unfunded, and because of the urgency of this, if Council wishes to apply in the fourth round, then we will need to have those funds allocated now so we can undertake the necessary work to be able to lodge an application. So it's a Council decision that needs to be made, but it is considered under that urgent category.
Okay. Now, back to Councillor Crossland. If you wish to leave for something to be recorded in the minutes, I do want to make the distinction between matters which are brought forward by staff as a result of prior council motions, compared to the rash of motions from members asking for funding for different projects. I think there might be a difference there, but it is over to you. Is there something that you want to seek recorded in the minutes?
Yeah, I think it's important to record in the minutes that through the partnership funding you can bring motions to council and even if they are unfunded?
Well, that is a request which is subject to the leave of the meeting. Does anyone object? And it's a yes. Sorry, it's not for debate. It's yes or no whether leave is granted. So, does anyone object to that?
Well, I'd like to make a qualified comment on that, if I could.
Well, no, it's not an opportunity to do that. Does anyone object to that? Yes. Well, in that case, we put it to a vote whether, and the proposal is for it to be recorded in the minutes. Vote yes if you think it should, vote no if you think it shouldn't. So those who think it should be recorded in the minutes, raise your hand. Those against, that is lost by majority. So leave is not granted. We won't add the point in the minutes. And now we resume debate. Councillor Hull, I don't think you've spoken yet, so go ahead.
Mr Mayor, out of all the sporting hubs, it's common knowledge that this Mitchell Park is my favourite one. It's not in my ward, but its proximity to Tonsley and all of that that I've mentioned over and over again for a number of years is still the same. However, I think Councillor Telfer was probably the last one that should have moved this motion. I think Councillor Crosland's got a very good point that, you know, we need to have the disciplines that we espouse to, and we need to be disciplined going forward. And I don't think it was particularly useful for Councillor Telfer to move this motion. However, I think that this is what this money is designed for. I think we can all agree on that. But I think it's important for us to understand where we go forward in future, because Mitchell Park is not the only one on our agenda. There's probably too many on our agenda, in my opinion, that I'll hold on that. But look, I hopefully we can get a unanimous vote on this, but have an understanding that if you're actually going to have the rhetoric about discipline and all this, stick to it and don't go moving motions and being contradicting yourself.
Well, I'd say, Councillor Hull, you're sailing close to the line of being offensive there. Can't you make your points without personal attack? That's a disgrace to you, no one else. In respect of Councillor Telfer moving the motion, I really do want to stress, from having attended many of the sports committee meetings, a number of which Councillor Telfer's also attended, that this motion, the thinking behind it, the report behind it, is a tribute to a massive amount of work on the part of John Valentine, to a large extent Sean O'Brien as well, and this motion comes from their deliberations as staff in implementing the earlier decision of council. This is not Councillor Telfer's pet project. Any insinuation that that's the case is completely unfounded. This has come out of the hard work and research of staff who, after considering several sites, have picked out Mitchell Park as the preferred site and put that up to us for decision. It's no surprise that a ward councillor might want to move the motion because a ward councillor quite naturally would have consulted with many of the clubs involved. So I really just wanted to set the record straight about that. Others may wish to speak. Councillor Valescu.
I think we should just take a step back. What do we want to achieve? We've got the highlighted things. We've got BMX in the south. We've got soccer in the south. We've got the basketball. We've got the Edwardstown stuff, and there's something else. Please don't chastise me that it doesn't come to mind right away. Let's do this. You know, let's not be frivolous about that community partnerships funding. But if we have it sitting there, and this is what it's for, and if that's that opportunity. And look, the most important thing in getting these things done is the partnerships. And I've seen those partnerships in various very serious throughout the councils, and the hard work that the elected members do in developing those partnerships, and that's how you get it working. You get that buy-in, you get other people contributing, and you get other people having ownerships. We've got an example of a partnership here in the gallery. We've got people from various different clubs, and that always doesn't happen. You don't always get different clubs agreeing with that shared vision. So that's something we should be looking at. Now, the things that have come up with the budgeting, things like that, okay, let's have that discussion and let's get that understanding. The only reason I didn't support what Councillor Crossland said is I didn't think it was clearly what happened, and I'd be happy that we add to the minutes exactly why this money was chosen, so if people want that. Let's just move on, because I guess if we start going on this path, we won't get anything done, and we want to get things done. But we also don't want to waste the residents' money. That's all I want to say. And I guess I'd like to thank the good work that everyone who's been involved on this has done. Let's not lose focus of what we want to achieve. Let's not start to cannibalise ourselves, because we're not going to do anyone any favours, including ourselves. So.
Any other speakers? Councillor Gard.
As someone coming onto the strategic committee, I certainly would like to comment that this, in a way, is quite an initiative for the City of Marion, because we have some very centralised, excellent facilities, such as the Aquatic Centre, the Civic Centre, that are in already highly commercial locations, but. Correct me if I'm wrong, councillors, but I think this is one of the very first true upgrades, and I guess close in its footsteps comes Edwardstown Memorial Oval. And these things are the things that really do make the fabric of a council. It's our growing up stage now that we're truly going into. And, of course, one of my favourites, streetscaping, comes into that as well, longer term. But I just wanted to make that observation for the records that this is not, it's wonderful for Mitchell Park, which is fully deserving of it, and the regions, locations around Mitchell Park, but it's also a fantastic initiative for our council at large, and I really see it as the beginning of a new era in that ilk.
This exciting project will develop. We need a lot of people behind it. We not only need this council, we also need those other groups that are here tonight and those that are not. We look forward to knocking on the door of our Boothby candidates to try and lobby for the money in the next 6 months. One of the reasons that we need to go to the National Stronger Regional Fund number 4 is so that we are bringing this forward and we have a structured plan at the time that the Boothby candidates are standing for election. We started this year as a council having had, I think, 6 years of discussion about which were the major facilities and which were to be upgraded. And some of the councillors around here have been part of that 6 years of discussion. We came up with Soccer BMX, Edwardstown, Basketball and Mitchell Park. Tonight we bring forward two together, Mitchell Park and Basketball, as Councillor Lisker had forgotten. It's Mitchell Park. So we look forward to having this solved. If councillors find some incongruity in me bringing forward something that we as a council had committed to in terms of capital priority and funding, then I apologise. But I very much am still committed to monies and projects going to first review. I see some sense in bringing this forward at this time, and I support it.
we go across the other side of Crossroads to Edwardstown Oval. And I reckon Councillor Pfeiffer might wish to move a motion.
No, I'd just like to probably... I've got advice from the government. It's not a conflict of interest, but it may come to board that, so I'd like to accept myself.
Right. Councillor Carey, I understand your support for the...
No, I was saying but it's not come up with board that.
There's potential conflict of interest, so you're going to excuse yourself. We all understand that. Councillor Crossland? Just before you do, I'd invite Ms. McKenzie to clarify.
Was that in this situation it's unlikely that there's a conflict of interest. This report is actually just voting on the option of how you want to move forward. There's no detailed design, so there's nothing to suggest that it would compromise your position whilst being on the DAP, but Councillor Carey has still elected to leave the meeting, which is his choice.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm quite enthusiastic about this one. In regards to the last item, Councillor Velescu mentioned the word partnerships, and this particular project is definitely one of them. Thanks to our incredible team who over the last 2 months have pulled this together, to get such well-defined options after just, I think it's 8 weeks, is quite astounding, so thank you. And to our passionate community and our passionate stakeholders, some of whom are in the gallery this evening. Your Worship, you look like you're going to interject on me.
Councillor Pfeiffer, and with those preliminaries very well said out of the way, we'll need the motion from you because I will test whether it's seconded quite seriously, because we do have different options before us.
Of course, Your Worship. I was building up to it. I will be moving option 2, which is the new build. And I reserve my right to actually finish speaking in a moment.
I'll be happy to come back to you, but I will just ask if that's seconded. Councillor Hull, I'll come back to you. Councillor Pfeiffer, please continue.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm moving the new build for this particular location, and the reason for doing so is that this opportunity comes around once every 2 or 3 generations. You know, it's grandfathers who were probably originally doing this, and it's probably, you know, my grandkids who will be coming back here again in the future. You don't get the opportunity to do this every day, and that's why I'm moving this. In doing so, I note that the subcommittee of Edwardstown Oval has favoured option 3. The reason for that is around the continued operation of the bowls club during the build process. I've verbally been advised tonight that the football club and the community hall could potentially stay up during the build process and only come down after that. Alternatively, you know, I'm sure that we can find other temporary accommodation on site to enable continued operation during that build. Your Worship, the reason for moving the new build is that I think it will enable better economic opportunities, and of course the economic opportunities are part of the National Stronger Regions Fund grant. It will emphasise the centre, it will provide better emphasis for the centre as a centre of cycling. It re-emphasises the original intent from 95 years ago that this is a community facility. It will enable, or better enable, a new single management structure, which is critical for this site. It will potentially enable lower operating costs. It will be more flexible in the long term. And quite frankly, I think by going for a new build, I think we're going to have a better position for actually gaining federal funding for this. Look, I've only got a few seconds left, but I want to just also acknowledge that the management committee is committed to change, and they're committed to changing their current ways of management. Even on this coming Monday night, they'll be considering a new constitution, one which our mayor has very kindly worked very, very hard on actually putting together with their assistance. This single management scenario would be a single management over the entire site, including the building itself. And critically, it would be community elected, which I think is a big and a bold move. And I'm very hopeful and enthusiastic that we'll get across the line. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Happy to second this. This motion, as was the previous motion, has one common thread. That is that this council might actually achieve something we haven't achieved for quite some time, and that is to extract the most out of an election process. We talked about the Boothby candidates. The same applies for the Hindmarsh candidates. We actually, the community would expect us to expunge as much as we can out of the federal and state political process. It is actually our duty to actually try and achieve this. The opportunity only comes every 4 years or so, depending on what level of government. They're both marginal seats. It's fair game for us. Other electorates around Australia has applied the appropriate attention to such projects, and now it's our turn. I'm surprised that Councillor Pfeiffer hasn't coined the phrase, do it right the first time. I'm disappointed, Councillor Pfeiffer, but I'll, on your behalf, I hope I can indulge. In this case, with the option put forward, option two, unfortunately, Mr. Mayor, no pain, no gain. If there's no pain for the current users, there won't be the net gain that they should get in the long term. That is the optimisation of the site. It's an awkward site. It needs every bit of space made available for renewal of community amenity. If we don't do it this way, we will not get the dividends that we need to actually serve the grandkids that Tim talked about. So the site efficiencies are really important. And that's in the report. It's not something I'm making up. It's in the report. Clear the site, green fields, get on with it, do it properly. Try and get the best outcome in terms of community infrastructure as we can. In the long run, the clubs involved will thank us for this. At the same time, in closing, Mr. Mayor, if the council could help the bowling club with demandables or whatever it takes to try and operate in a reasonable way during the process, that would be a good outcome as well. So I implore you all to support this motion. Contrary to what was said earlier, this has been a critical and important night for this council. There's been some big issues tackled, maybe not perfectly, but it's certainly, in my opinion, a big night in terms of taking some big projects and dealing with some old issues going forward.
Thank you. Now, just before I go to other speakers, I do have a question, whether it be Mr. Mitford or Mr. Valentine, but when I look through the financial implications in the report from Council, can I have some specific advice on whether option two or option three would be better for the long-term financial plan? Mr. Valentine?
Through the Chair, thank you, Your Worship. In terms of option two and three, option two is a more expensive scheme. And you'll see in the report there that it's quoted at a range of $7.6 to $8.4 million. And the midpoint of that, not surprisingly, is $8 million. That leaves no leeway, in terms of unexpected things that might occur through the course of taking this through to construction.
Sorry, Mr. Valentine, I'm really not talking about the capital expenditure, the long-term financial plan implications.
The two are related.
Sure.
But certainly in terms of a new build, there is less maintenance. That is clearly the case with a new building over another option where you might be reusing in part an older building. But if the capital cost is higher, the longer-term cost will be higher as well.
Okay, and just one other thing, which is not just about this motion, but a general point, something I'm trying to encourage, is where there are different options for councils to consider, if we could somehow develop a process in meetings so that the essence of the option is described in the motion, I believe it would be of great benefit to those reading the minutes. They don't want to have to search back to in some council report in the archives to work out what was option two. So in this case, perhaps a quick fix would be, in brackets, I would actually suggest taking from the report, demolishing all existing club buildings and erecting a new building. Just to make it really clear. I hope members are with me on that. It's only a little thing, but it helps people out there read the minutes. Now, on to any other speakers. Anyone speaking against the motion? If not, I will put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We're on our way with two major projects. Thank you. And now we turn to, and thanks again to Mr. Valentine for his work on this. We turn to page 192 of the agenda, Youth Development. Who would like to move? Councillor Crossland.
Yes, I'd like to move a alternative motion, which I've emailed to staff.
Thank you. We'll just get that up on the screen. Councillor Crossland, go ahead. Oh, well, first I'll just check, is that seconded? Councillor Gard. So on to you, Councillor Crossland, to express your resolution.
Thank you. This is actually a slight combination of the ones originally offered by staff. Most councillors will be aware that this is an ongoing process which is initiated by myself and Councillor Westwood earlier on this year. The main reason for it is to try and adapt our youth programs to be more responsive within the community, more targeted across council rather than just based in the south of our council area, and also provide staff with a very flexible option. So just the highlights of the option. We will be reducing the available staff numbers from 2 FTE to 1.5. A half will be reviewed in a year's time, depending on how the program goes. And we'll be effectively increasing the amount we're spending on youth programs from roughly about 87,000 to 194,000. The point of note out of this is that even with additional spending on youth programs, overall we'll actually be spending slightly less collectively on youth programs than the amount which was distributed, I believe, in February this year.
Thank you, Councillor Gard.
Endorse everything that Councillor Costin has said, and more generally, I think one of the real driving forces of this motion is that we can be more flexible with our services to youth. We can more than likely deliver better services for a sustained period of time, and there is also the flexibility for review. So I thoroughly commend the motion.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I will put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we go to the resources required for DPAs. No? How did I do that? Oh, there it is. Sorry, on page 199, first budget review. Someone to move. Councillor Telfer. Seconded Councillor Crossland. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak to that? Or ask any questions?
I'd like to thank staff for the clarity of the material that we have, and are pleased to see that we have moved in the black for the first quarter.
Councillor Crossland.
I'd just like to echo those sentiments and also again to thank staff for ongoing assistance throughout the year and for a very detailed report. Thank you.
Councillor Hull.
A question to Mr. Mifsud. In terms of the council's scheduled low rates going forward, does this report indicate to us that there is sustainability in terms of our long-term outlook, not only to maintain the projected rate in the dollar, but also maybe to even decrease it?
Through the Chair, certainly Council's adopted long-term financial plan, which is focused on an objective of actually reducing the average rate rise further, slightly, is sustainable as it was currently adopted back on the 23rd of June.
Any questions? I've got a couple of questions. On page 208 of the agenda, we have the section on financial indicators, and I note the comment, in all instances, the first budget review 2015-16 is meeting or exceeding the required targets and is within range of council meeting its objective of financial sustainability. Now, the point that I'm making there is that there are several examples where the ratio or the figure is actually not within the desired range. So, Mr. Mifsud, is it not misleading to suggest that the target's being exceeded when in fact the result is outside the range desired by council?
Through the Chair, we certainly, moving forward, can provide a higher level of clarity in terms of what those results reflect to eliminate any concern or misinterpretation.
Thank you. And to help us with the figures, can I also ask for your comment on how we're approaching the issue of paying for the major developments of the last couple of years in the context where we allocated a potential $25 million of borrowing, we're only sitting on, is it something like 11 or 12? And with the surplus we have, there's a choice to make between borrowing less than that full 25 or else maintaining our surpluses and borrowing as planned. Can you please summarise from these figures which approach is represented? Can I draw that from these figures, Mr. Barnwell?
Yeah, through the Chair. Certainly, obviously we have a large cash holding which is fully funding our reserves. So at this point in time, we're not in a position where we need to use the full borrowings that are there. Obviously, it's only a matter of timing. Should we happen to use the reserves as required, obviously we still have that capacity to borrow. So essentially what we're trying to do here is to not incur interest charges, and there's a net in the recommendation to allocate the savings against future committed borrowings. There's a net cash benefit of $182,000 per year, so that's why we're recommending we use that. So, which obviously won't restrict your capacity to borrow in the future either.
Thank you. And just one more question. It's in relation to the legal consultants that are somewhat specified on page 214 of the agenda. When I look at, say, the three largest figures, so basically employment advice, around $82,000, that's the actual of last year, right?
Yep.
Governance, nearly $100,000, and development assessment, $134,000. And it's very pleasing to note that the figures are greatly reduced this year, but and I know that we're doing a review of legal services, but didn't that lead anyone to think that we could actually employ lawyers for cheaper than the cost of the consultants? Who would like to answer that?
I'm happy to have a go.
Yeah, Mr. Dunlop.
If we were to employ a lawyer, they would have to have a general, broad range of skills to cover all these particular areas. And we may well be in a position where we'd employ a lawyer who would have specified legal knowledge and he wouldn't be able to answer, and we'd still end up actually going out for more legal advice. That's my understanding, but
he or she, but I know what you mean. Thanks. Yeah. Mr. Scull?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I see a great opportunity here to look at that as an option going forward, because there certainly would be some interest in our neighbouring councils in sharing fee-for-service legal advice, so it'll be something that we'll look at when we do the review of the legal services, and potentially a couple of part-time lawyers could actually relieve quite a bit of burden of the cost that we've run.
Councillor Blescu.
Is this an opportunity for the LGA perhaps to consider employing a legal team we can access at no cost?
Oddly enough, they tried that and not enough councils used the lawyer, so they abandoned the project. Councillor Westwood.
I have to say that even though I like in-house as much as possible and I like to have skills within staff, by the staff, at a cost of $192,000 for 15 years, 15-16, that's sort of like a senior staff member, whereas you're getting the full effect of various legal consultants in various fields. I think it's quite reasonable, really, and yeah, I don't think it's excessive.
Councillor Gard.
Yes, I just missed my opportunity for a question earlier, Your Worship. Just in the headings for the budgeted income statement, budgeted balance sheet, etc., pages 210 onwards, I'm just a little confused as to the meaning of actual 2015 and first review 2016 from the point of view of the time frames.
I'll take that one. Through the chair, the actual figures for 2015, and we can make it clear as well, it's the actual 2014-15 results for the year.
Yes.
And the first review, 2016, is the predicted full budget for 2015-16.
Okay. Yeah.
We will make that clear in the next.
That'd be good. Thanks very much.
Yeah, well, with the new mayor, new culture and new CEO, in terms of the legal fees, the fact that I've gone 12 months without a major inquiry would have to have some impact on the budget. And I thank you for that.
I think your contribution should be recognised. Thank you. Very well. If there are no other questions, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 216 of the agenda. That's good. We're doing some planning work. Councillor Telfer to move.
I'll move as per the recommendation.
Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry, you wish to speak, Councillor Telfer?
These are important and timely development processes that we need to go through, so we need these to move forward promptly.
Councillor Kerry. Any other speakers? Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I just have a question, and I'm not sure we'll be able to answer it because Mr. Hooper's not here. It's about whether we've made any savings in our planner time due to changing our changing our policy, I guess, on how we deal with the developer side of things.
Mr. Scott.
For you, Mr. Mayor, I think it's just too early to get the savings just yet because it's very early days in the policy, but it is a good question. I can check up on whether there has been any result from that. But.
Thank you. Very well. If there are no other speakers, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we turn to the long-awaited review of confidential orders.
Your Worship.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Can we please separate items 59 and 74?
59 and 74.
Otherwise, I have to leave the room.
Yes. So what I recommend that we do, and tell me anyone if you disagree, is to move these in three blocks. There are a group where release is recommended. There's a group where keeping them under wraps at least until December 2016 is recommended. And there's a group which are in between. And I think the motion there will be, well, it may be, to bring them back in April after there's been a further opportunity for consideration and consultation. So there are three broad possibilities. Certainly easier to move them in bulk rather than one by one. But having said that, we need to pull out any orders which members wish to specify. So
for ease of simplicity, you wish, if I can step out on the...
That's all right. Both of them are in the same group. So we can quite easily move the rest of the group except for those two, and then we can deal with those two. Are there any others that members wish to pull out of those categories? Councillor Hull?
232, item 47, 48.
So 47 and 48 are the numbers... Yep. On page 232.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. And I would like to thank staff, Ms. McKenzie and Ms. Thwaites, for the organisation of this material. It certainly has improved from what we saw a year ago. It's easier to grapple with it. I'll just ask Ms. McKenzie, 47 and 48 then, are they... Which group are they in? They're also in the no's. So I think, tell me if I'm wrong, members, because you're in charge here, but we can deal with the yeses, we can deal with the unresolved group, and we can deal with the no's except for four specific motions, and then we'll go through those. Ms. McKenzie, you see any problem with that? All right. So... that recommendation on page 218, I mean, is that necessary, or do we have suggested wording for motions which would release documents? Right. Okay, so thank you, Ms. McKenzie. The first part is simply noting the report. So this is absolutely ordinary, and we need to just get this out of the way, and then we can deal with the items. So moved, Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Pryor, that we note the report. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we're looking for... a series of individual motions, but moved en bloc, all of those matters in the report where release has been recommended. Items 1 to 29, that's one way of doing it. So moved Councillor Hutchinson. And seconded Councillor Telfer. Councillor Hutchinson, did you wish to speak? Councillor Telfer? Anyone? I'll just make sure that the resolution is clearly recorded. Thank you. Thank you. So I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, raise your hands. That's carried unanimously. And thank you, members, for a huge release of information. We're now just getting staff assistance to get the right wording for the what we could call the unresolved items, the ones which we would seek to come back in April. Did you have a question, Councillor Hull? Or?
I want to add number 36 as well, please, for I would argue should be released.
Take out 36 in the unresolved group.
Anything with my name on it.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking for someone to, perhaps if Ms. Thwaites can, you know what the motion is going to be? Just a question while that's happening. I thought that over 60 items were being released. That's not so? Ms. Thwaites?
And actually then has several appendices attached to it, so it's report, say, 30, with then a number of appendices to it, so it is being released.
Okay, so one of those items has multiple items within it.
So report one has actually 33 reports attached to it. We grouped them together for ease.
Excellent. So we actually do have 61 reports that we're releasing. Thank you. We're making history. Now, that motion is... now, can I just clarify, isn't this the set of documents that we are moving to be reconsidered in April 2016? Sorry, shouldn't those motions actually tell people what we're doing with the items? Oh, I see. Well, can I have it made clear to members what the motion will be that will be applied to all in this block, please? Yep. That's all right. So the intention is that they're all coming back in April. Is that right? But the motions are all looking a bit different. That's, are they? Because the reasons are different. All right. So it is difficult to tangle with. But now I hope all members are following this and understand the process. Basically, we are now going to deal with what we might call the unresolved items, which will be coming back in April, if not sooner. Subject to the Chief Executive's consultations, etc. Councillor Westwood.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear all that explanation, but I have to agree it doesn't look clear for someone reading this in a year's time.
Yes, so Councillor Westwood, what's going to happen is, I think I'm getting it now, where we have something that is simply a motion that certain motions are moved on block.
Yes.
It's only after... we do the clerical work that the intention will be applied to each individual motion. Now, the first group had release now next to it. So when we moved them on block and approved that, every one of those 29 items will actually have a resolution carried next to it, which says release now.
So we're going to explain that in a short while.
It will be obvious in the minutes because people will be able to look at the individual items and they will either see to be released or they'll see come back in April or they'll see come back in December
next
year.
Each one's going to actually appear in the minutes.
That's right, for each individual item, and that's a legislative requirement.
Point of order, can I ask why are you only releasing in December some items next year?
Yes. Well, it's not a point of order, but it's a good question. Councillor Kerry, some years ago, Council adopted the policy that December would be the time at which the motions are reviewed. In the context of the legislative requirement that they need to be reviewed at least annually. So we could have chosen Easter, we could have chosen July, we could have chosen my birthday or anything else, as long as it's once a year. But it was chosen as December. It's not budget time, it's maybe a good time of the year to get it all together. It's a bit arbitrary, but we've got December. The April ones are a bit different. The suggestion was, in respect of those, to bring them back next December as well, but they were all items which might well resolve through a bit more consultation or a bit of reconsideration, so I'd suggest that they come back in April.
All the items were just...
This next group, which are, in a sense, their maybes or their items which maybe needed a bit more consultation. They're not black and white in the sense that a very clear commercial in confidence bit of information about someone's profits and pricing, that's something you'd say, okay, we're really going to be locking that up for quite a long time, but we still review it next December. These are ones which are not in that category, they're in a grey area, and we actually want the Chief Executive to do some more consultation. We want to come back in April and revisit it. Some of those may be released, others might go into the December list. Does that help?
Sort of.
Right. Oh, did you have another question?
Well, I'm just wondering, I think you've sort of answered it partially, but I just wanted to know what the difference was between the item being released in April and December, but I think you've...
Okay. Thank you.
Sort of clarified it.
Councillor Westwood, you're moving for this April group, and is that seconded? Councillor Telfer, any discussion? This group, 30 to 45, excluding item 36, are going to be revisited by us in April. So that gives us time to reconsider them. It gives the Chief Executive time to consult further. A number of them are in that category. And we will get another report in April, rather than waiting a full year. Councillor Pfeiffer?
36, ma'am.
Oh, we're about to deal with it after this one, but Councillor Hull wants to get into a different debate about it. Sure. I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Sorry, I beg your pardon. Carried by majority. So we now deal with item number 36. Now, Councillor Hull, there could be a conflict of interest here. I just raise it for your consideration. Ask Ms. McKenzie to comment.
So, members, just keeping in mind that it is important that we don't release any confidential information that's contained within the reports because we're still in public, but this report was subject to a code of conduct complaint against Councillor Hull. For those members that were on council last time, you may recall that Councillor Allen made a personal explanation within the council meeting this report contains the personal explanation, and on consultation with former Councillor Allen, she did not want the information released.
So we've got a situation where there are essentially two parties who are most directly affected, Councillor Hull and former Councillor Allen. Councillor Hull's happy for it to be released, but not former Councillor Allen. So on that basis, let's put it off into the April... Well, sorry, on that basis... Yes, because then other councillors will need to deal with it. So please go ahead.
So while there's an item held in confidence...
Sorry, Councillor Hull, we'll probably need a motion that the matter be dealt with in confidence. That your personal explanation be dealt with in confidence. Because you'll probably be touching confidential matters.
I'm not concerned about what I'm going to say being public, I can assure you that.
No, as long as it doesn't reflect on former councillor Allen's personal explanation. That's all right.
Yeah,
you go ahead.
Yeah.
Leave is granted to give a personal explanation, provided it doesn't touch on confidential matters.
Look, whilst you've heard Councillor Allen's point of view, my point of view is that while there's a confidential item held in confidence, there can be a suggestion for people in the community, by the media, that there's something there that Councillor Hull might not want released. And there's always that innuendo and suggestion about what that might be. I'm not comfortable with it being held in confidence because the broader report, as I said, has been released by the Ombudsman. I think that there's high time that the whole matter's put behind us and it's all put out there. I'm a great believer that any elected member who's been involved in anything like this, with maybe some exceptions if it's going to become a legal issue or whatever, should be out in the open. We're all public officials, if you like. Ted Burt would be quick to tell us that. And with this, I'm happy, more than happy. In fact, I want it out in the open. That would be my preference. And I think it's important to note my preference. But we'll step outside for this.
No, through the Chair, and the Ombudsman purposely chose to exclude it from the report.
All right. So, Councillor Hull, if you could leave the room, we'll deal with the item. Councillor Hutchinson to move.
Question, Your Worship.
Question?
Question to staff. What options are available to us to redact sections of a release?
We can certainly investigate that with Councillor Allen during this period between now and April.
But the question is, why can't this be released without Councillor Allen's personal explanation? Mr. White. Bearing in mind we're not in confidential mode at this point.
Basically, it depends on how much information you're actually redacting. If the amount of information that you're redacting in itself is of value, then the confidential order would still need to stand over that piece of information. If you're redacting simply a name or simply a word or a dollar figure that by itself does not have any value, then you don't actually have to have a confidential order over that redacted information itself, is the guidance we've been provided in regards to redacting information and releasing information.
The understanding we've been given is that former Councillor Allen did not want her personal explanation released. So the question is, why can't we release it with that explanation fully redacted? Ms. Blakes?
That is definitely an option. Whether you want to consult on that with the report redacted being released and bring it back in April with that option, or whether you want to make the decision now to just release the report with the personal explanation redacted, is up to you. The consideration for the consultation we've done so far was just on the full report. not on bits and pieces of it.
Thank you. Well, that gives us the options. So, councillors, someone to move for Councillor Westwood? Oh, sorry. Well, I'll come back to you, Councillor.
I'd actually prefer 36 then not to be excluded from that previous motion. We have voted for it, but maybe we can move a new one.
No,
it really fits into the category of being
You're moving
confidential until April.
Yes, you're.
Yeah, and that would be useful, I think.
You're moving that way.
I'll move that way,
yep.
Now.
Is that seconded, Councillor Valescu?
I think we obviously need to make sure that Councillor Allen's wishes are respected as far as what information might be in the report, be it alluding to the personal explanation or otherwise. So let's just do this properly, that's why I move that we consult with Councillor Allen on this.
You're seconding the motion. Thank you. Councillor Crossland, you had a question?
Yeah, two questions. The first one, did Councillor Allen read out her personal explanation to all councillors present in the room?
And the question and the answer?
Yes, she did, in confidence.
And if we chose to release the entire report, what possible outcome could there be as a consequence of releasing without Councillor Allen's against Councillor Allen's wish?
Well, it would be in Councillor Allen's hands whether she feels that she caused a detriment from the release of that information.
Well, the point is that it would reflect on her personal affairs. Presumably that was the basis for the confidentiality in the first place. So it's a matter of our care for her feelings in respect of those personal affairs. Councillor Hutchinson.
I guess a comment on the debate is this is probably a timely point that if we are going to record personal explanations in the minutes and then we choose not to release them, then it's kind of holding council to ransom in some ways. So we need to be careful in the future in our procedures that we don't actually record personal explanations when we're in confidence because of this very reason. Because otherwise we can have a personal statement that's not recorded in the minutes. So, you know, we just need to be clear on that in our procedures going forward, that we avoid recording these sort of things in a confidential forum, because otherwise they can never be released.
Well, they can always be released. It's up to council. But, you know, there's a question at the time, and then if it is confidential, there's a question of when it's released. Other speakers? Councillor Gard? Very close to 10 o'clock, just bear in mind, Councillor Gard.
Yeah, given the we've gone over.
Okay. Councillor Gard's just moved an extension of time.
I have.
Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry? Until the conclusion of the items, Councillor Gard?
Yes.
All those in favour? All those against? Gard and Kerry?
Yes,
thank you.
Given,
please proceed.
Yes, thank you. Given the fact that it is unlikely that former Councillor Allen's personal feelings and her desire to protect that information is ever likely to change, because it is a personally based issue, is it not the best process just to redact? Because it would seem to me that it won't change the context of the complaint and its outcome to redact the personal qualifications that I seem to recall reading about. I have had conversation with the former councillor about that issue, not in direct relationship to this motion, many months ago. But I just feel that there's two issues here. One is relevance to the overall complaint and its handling and its outcome, versus a qualification that she cared to release at the time but would not care to have made public.
Councillor Gard, I think what you're doing is foreshadowing another motion if this motion is lost.
Perhaps so, yeah. Give that to members to consider.
Any other speakers? Councillor Westwood, anything in reply? Then I put it to the vote, and just to be clear, that this item go off to the group of items to come back in April after further consultation. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by a majority. Right. Now we deal with the block of motions for which Councillor Hull can come back in. Now we deal with the block of motions for which refusal of release is recommended for now. We will nonetheless, as required by law, reconsider all of these motions next December, and for the moment we're excluding items 47, 48, 59, 74. Is that right, Ms. McKenzie? Right. 51 is another one. Question, Councillor Gard.
In excluding those, what are we to do with them?
Oh, we're going to come back to them after the big block.
Oh, okay, thank you.
We'll just deal with them separately, that's all. So for the motion covering the great majority of those remaining items, who wishes to move? Councillor Blescu, wish to speak? Councillor Telfer, seconded? Any speakers? I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. That was moved. Blescu, seconded. Telfer. And now we deal with these matters. I'm just asking staff, do we deal with them in numerical order, 47, 48? And 47, 48, 51. Councillor Hull, you've referred to items 47, 48, 51. Are they all yours?
Yes, they're all related, actually.
Can we deal with them as a block then?
I think so.
All right. Well, it's over to you as to
how
you wish to deal with
them. The reason why I think I've had a long-standing belief that these should be released, it's the dealings with between council and a developer, the richest man in South Australia, actually. And I think that it's high time, because there has been how many years? Can staff give me an idea of, maybe it's in the report will lead to it, 07. It's been too long. I think the community would accept that there'd be a few years where it'd be confidential, because there's commercial and confidence considerations. Nobody wants to actually give up the developer's game in the development world, but since 07, mind you, we should be now putting this out in the public. I think that for transparency, this is why we go through this process. I think that this qualifies big time, where the council's dealings with the richest man in South Australia should be released after all this time. So 07, where are we now? 15. So it's been 8 years, and I think it's time to put it out there.
So I'll just ask, is that motion seconded, the release of these three items? Councillor Westwood, have you finished, Councillor Hull?
Well, it's only held on the whim of the developer.
Well, to be more accurate, I think the consideration was that we're currently negotiating with the developer. That was part of the equation.
The point is, Mr. Mayor, we continually go back, apparently, and if the party says no, we don't proceed. Well, I'm sorry. If developers are going to do business with local government, there needs to be a well-understood practice that we are dealing with a public utility. It's not a private corporation, and there is a reasonable chance that in a reasonable period of time that all of this would be released, and we're at that point.
And there is a good point there that, and perhaps something for Mr. Scull and governance staff to think about, that when we're entering into contracts with people in the future, unnamed, unspecified, that we could say that we would have a policy that after 5 years or after 7 years, you may expect the confidential, I swap chairs, that confidential or commercial information might become available. Anyway, Councillor Westwood, Ms. McKenzie wants to add something?
Through the chair. Also, I just wanted to add that, so these reports are quite old, and I think since these reports have written, we've come a little bit more savvy in how we do council confidential reports now. So we do write them, keeping in mind that we do want to release them as soon as we can. So the nature of these reports that are quite old, written 10 years ago, you probably find that they'd be written quite differently in today.
Councillor Crossland?
It's a question for staff, if I may. Can I just confirm that in these reports there's no information that's currently connected to ongoing confidential items currently being considered?
Mr. Scott?
I'm pretty sure from the description that it's about the connector road and nothing to do with the current situation.
Sorry, it was just that I thought that was where the current confidential item came from in those discussions. I think it's locked in there as a condition.
That's my understanding too, Councillor Crossland.
Just so on that basis, so this item has actually got a current live confidential item contained within it, so I'd be voting against this item.
Thank you, Councillor Crossland. Councillor Blescu?
Councillor Hulls, I agree with what he says in regards to having these things available for the community, but we have to, navigate this in a way that's in our best interests, in the community's best interests as well. And I think that we shouldn't, jump the gun at all as far as when things go confidential, especially when it was perhaps packaged in a way previously that may not have given us as clear an opportunity as they will in the future. So I think that we need to just keep it as confidential for the moment, and with business relationships in particular, look that we don't put ourselves in a situation not only that we miss out, but also a potential detriment or us having to call on the mutual liability scheme.
Other speakers? I would like to underline that fact that there's a current confidential matter which is connected to the substance of these documents, but councillors can make of that what they will. They can choose either way. So, all those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's lost by majority. So, we're then looking for an alternative motion in respect of those. The staff recommendation was that they go into the December list. Councillor Valescu, so move. Councillor Kerry, seconded. Any discussion? I beg your pardon, Councillor Hull? December, yep. Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's all those against. That's carried unanimously. There remain two items. Councillor Hutchinson, are they... he's leaving the room. So 59 and 74, they can be moved on block. Well, together, in fact. So there's a recommendation that they go off to December. Councillor Pryor?
Moves as such.
Move that way. Yep. Seconded by Councillor Pfeiffer. Any discussion?
Can I just ask a question? Councillor, why are we releasing it in December in this particular one? We're reviewing it. Yeah. Why in December?
So this is in the category which is a no, essentially, but we have to consider them again no later than next December, because there can't be more than a year between reconsiderations. So that the longest we can actually keep anything secret is a year at a time. But we're saying that at the moment this should go off until next December. Presumably, until the matter's finally resolved. If there are no other speakers, all those in favour raise your hand. All those against, is carried by majority. So that'll go off to December, and we've knocked over 100, 200 pages of the agenda. Now, I know you've been staying awake for this one, members. Probably, I don't know, I should leave the room, I think. Councillor Bilescu, we've dealt... just hang on a sec. We've dealt with... Councillor Kerry, you're not proceeding with your motion tonight. We've dealt with Papatoetoe Reserve. So, Deputy Mayor Bilescu, can you please take the chair and take it through to the conclusion of the meeting? Thank you. Ah, no, I'll do that now. Before we deal with this final motion, there's a bit of tidying up, and it's simply for me to record the reason that I refused deputation. Oh, just starting to cramp up. Deputation was sought from Mr. Rod Kiddy of the South Adelaide Basketball Club. I suggested the deputation be refused on the basis that much of the relevant information that he wished to provide at this time is available either in the staff report or in the material circulated electronically to members and in his recent meeting with Councillor Telfer. And in fact, she did touch on some of those matters in her speech. So it's just my duty to report that to you. So if that could be recorded at an appropriate place in the minutes, that would be good, preferably at the beginning. Well, I was meant to declare that. So sorry about mucking you around there, Deputy Mayor Bilescu. I'll leave it to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Council and nominations. The recommendation currently has that Mayor Hannah is the local government member on Industrial Relations Consultative Council. Do I have someone wishing to move that motion? Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. Any discussion? Councillor Hull.
I have a question. There's a current motion on the books that we review our membership of the LGA. And in fact, take it a step further, that we actually engage in discussions with neighbouring councils about the possibility of forming an alternative organisation. Look, I appreciate that the LGA's, if I can speak to that, to the question, Well, it's pretty straightforward. If Mayor Hannah was to be successful, we could have our mayor holding a position on the LGA. And I assume it's a paid position. It's got a... it's an LGA appointment anyway. LGA appointment, which would be a paid position.
I have some clarity whether... Not that...
Through the chair. My understanding of the process is that if Mayor Hannah was successful, he would be the LGA nominated position, which would then go up into the larger appointments. So he would then be appointed directly to the council itself. He would then form a part of that body, but nominated on behalf of the LGA. So if then council elected to pull out of the LGA at a later day, it shouldn't affect that because he's not actually appointed. He's just been nominated on behalf of the industry, if that makes sense.
I take your point, but I'm just pointing out that is this council actually on a new track with the LGA? Have we actually noted enough change in the LGA to see what I call the renaissance of the LGA? I think that's probably an overstatement at this point. And I know they're probably listening to me. I'm hopeful that there is a renaissance happening. But, you know, the irony is we've got this existing motion in our books and now we're nominating Mayor Hannah to be an LGA representative on this body. I just wanted to point out that, you know, are we being inconsistent in our message to the LGA? And the point is, if we actually do go ahead with this, should we actually maybe take a more positive outlook towards the LGA? Because I think it's futile to have mixed messages to them. We're either consistent about the LGA or we actually go in a different direction with the LGA, because, you know, it's pointless having mixed messages to an organisation that we question their worth and then go and nominate the mayor to be on LGA appointment to a government body. I'm not for one minute I'm suggesting Mayor Hannah's not the right person, he's ideal. But I hope everybody takes my point on this. I think maybe it's a renaissance time for us as well.
Councillor Hull, anyone wish to add to Councillor Kerry, then Councillor Telfer?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Councillor Hull on this point. I think that as long as we have a motion on the table suspending our membership, I don't believe that we should be accepting any positions with the LGA. I think it's a conflict of interest. That's just my personal opinion.
Councillor Kerry, I just want to clarify, and I will stop the time.
Councillor Hull.
We don't currently have a motion to suspend our membership. We are looking to... we are currently members of the LGA and we're looking at our membership again later on, but we are currently part of it, and just like yourself, Mayor Hannah and any other elected members, if they wish to use their expertise and skills to assist the broader local government and South Australia community, they are free to nominate at this point regardless of any future decision.
Okay, I take your point. The reality is we're still in our position in terms of the LGA at the moment. It's still unclear, and I believe that we should not accept any positions until we have actually resolved what our position is in relation to the LGA. We've paid our memberships the rest of the year. I accept that. There were legal reasons why we did that. But nevertheless, I think we should be very, very consistent and say we want the LGA to reform, and I think it's sending a conflicting message to the LGA by any of us accepting any positions with the LGA until that's resolved next year. So I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you, Councillor Kerry, and thank you for giving me leave to state the position as is. Councillor Telfer.
I support this. We are members now. If the body decides as a group not to be members, then and there are ramifications, we will deal with them. But at this point, we are members, and it is appropriate that if somebody wants to be part of a group, they can be.
Yes, Councillor Hull. Sorry.
This is a 3-year appointment.
So if you had read page 607, it apparently says that it's a 3-year appointment. Any other Councillor Crossland?
Just to confirm, if Mayor Hannah is successful, would his appointment automatically mean he would have to declare a conflict of interest in any future discussion involving the LGA?
Okay, I'll leave that question to staff.
No, because he'd be a member on the council, and his obligations and due diligence would be with the Industrial Relations Council and not with the LGA.
didn't expect that sort of debate on there. Is there anyone else wish to ask any more questions or make any other comments that hasn't yet? If Councillor Gard.
Just a brief different take on this, that I think Mayor Hannah is highly qualified to take the position, and what we're looking for is to stay with the LGA, all things being equal. The LGA, I think, is under a very impressive new management, and I think that new management is very sensitive to points that we've made. And in addition to that, without wanting to be too crass about it, I feel that there is an opportunity perhaps in some small or larger way that Mayor Hannah might enhance the quality of service of the LGA by so serving. So I think there is that line of thought to be taken, and that could certainly be argued publicly for our reasoning. I think at this stage, to me, it's a matter of us being positive, trying to show good leadership in our local government sector, and by doing, by exhibiting his desire to be on the council in question, I think that is a vote of goodwill towards the LGA, which is, can only be positive in dealing.
Thank you very much, Councillor.
Yes. Well, why is that? I've only asked one question. No, this is inconsistent with our understanding.
Councillor Hull?
Well, how many questions are you entitled to ask during what? An item?
Okay, so you've asked two questions already?
Have I? All right. I thought I spoke to the motion.
I'll allow the question. Go on, Councillor.
Well, my last question is, in terms of public perception, is this motion consistent with the prophecy of Miles Kemp, an advertiser journalist on Twitter, during the heat of the LGA crisis?
Rule that one out of order.
It's all about judgment. It's judgments.
Councillor Hull, can you please rule that one out of order? I think that we've had plenty of discussion on the merits of the association of the LGA, and I shouldn't have actually left it for as long as I did. We only had one person talk about the merits of a candidate, which is probably more important. So therefore, if there's nothing else that people wish to add, I will put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? I declare that carried by majority. No other motion. I declare the meeting finished. Thank you.